If you have a Maltese license, you can offer as many bonuses as you want to players. You can even encourage them to play.
When the Italians actually opened the market?
From then on, we decided to stop operating on MGA and we focused on the Swedish market. Yeah, I must admit, a few years ago, I have been looking into Curaçao for my own company.
Now the curiosity comes out from my end. What happened that day, but in the long run? Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Sigma podcast, where today we'll be meeting Nikolaj Livori, the CEO of Canon Gaming. Thank you for joining us, Nikolaj.
My pleasure.
Nikolaj, me and you have spoken a lot in the past, but we've never actually met in person. And maybe also for the benefit of those watching the podcast, your background, your history in the gaming sector, which I know goes back quite a number of years.
Yes, I actually come from the tech industry, so I'm a mathematician and I'm a programmer. So I joined the gaming industry ages ago. I can't even remember, but at least 18 years ago, for a company called Bet24. We used to operate with a Maltese license, eventually got a Danish license, eventually got sold to another gaming company. From then on, I founded Canon Gaming, and I was doing sports arbitrage and trying to open a sports book here in Malta. I tried lotteries, and then I settled on casinos because it seems to be, you know, easier to run. Mm-hmm. But we needed more licenses, so actually we're licensed in Malta, Sweden, Denmark, and almost in Canada.
Okay, Canada, Ontario?
Ontario, yes.
Ontario, okay. So, to jump straight into the discussion. So, you spoke about Malta, and let's say up to 2010, 2011, the Maltese license held a certain weight, but then you started having those European countries which started opening up their own regime. At the time I used to work at the MGA back in 2008, when the Italians actually opened the market and you had the first Malta licensee going to Italy and getting that license, I thought there was a tacit acceptance of the dot country approach. Mm-hmm. We'll get a license in a particular jurisdiction, but we'll use Malta as our base. How do you view the evolution from, well, almost just one European license to now having, I think we're around 20 European licenses which are available?
Yes, I think it was the beginning of the end of the prestige of having an MGA. Right before, you have one license, you operate wherever you want. I think the biggest hit, at least me operating in Scandinavia, was when Denmark regulated. I don't know if you remember, but there used to be a lot of
I know Birgit very well, Birgit, yes. And the former regulator.
And there used to be a lot of Danish people here on the island, mm-hmm. but Denmark regulated and it changed the whole scenario. I think the other smaller countries, it didn't really affect Malta, right? It's only when the big ones like Denmark and Sweden have been regulated.
And what about the UK?
UK, you're right. And the UK.
At the time, UK was still a member state. But then, if you look at the UK and the manner in which the UK regulate the market, some say in certain instances it's a case of shooting first and asking questions later. From an enforcement point mm-hmm. of view, I mean, you see these huge settlements. For a company which is trying to go down the white route, but when you are constantly being targeted by regulators, whilst you have other operators who do not have a license but still target that jurisdiction, don't you see that the industry is becoming a bit unfair from a enforcement regulation point of view?
It's more unfair for those like us in the white market, see? Because we have a Swedish license and it's quite tough. It's just like the English one, right? Mm-hmm. So a player can block himself from all the casinos using spell powers. There's limits, you can only give him one bonus. You know, there's a lot of strictness. Mm-hmm. Now when a gray market comes in, they're like cowboys.
A gray operator,
right? Mm-hmm. So someone operating in Sweden without a Swedish license, and you can find hundreds of those casinos. Now we're spending money trying to keep in line with the regulator. Mm-hmm. The others don't have to, because they use their regulator to say, okay, I'm good, I'm good enough here.
Isn't that an element of unfair competition, which the European Union should actually be protecting European Union-based operators against?
Yes, but who will it protect? Will it protect those coming with an international license like MGA, or will it protect me with an SGA license?
Let's say we have non-European operators based out of any jurisdiction which is a non-European Union. How can the Swedish regulator enforce against operators like that?
Now that I agree. However, they're trying to be very hard on responsible gaming, right?
The Swedish regulator. Okay.
There's a lot of gamblers in Sweden, and they're trying to rectify that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a Maltese license, you can offer as many bonuses as you want to players. You can even encourage them to play.
Mm-hmm.
Sweden thinks different. So they're much in favor of the actual player.
Okay.
So they have limits. During COVID, there have been very reduced limits about how much the player can play, etc.
Okay.
So that's what they enforce, right? So if MGA had to have the same regulations for the players in Sweden, then I don't think they would actually complain.
Okay, so how long have you been operating in the Swedish market with a Swedish license?
Since the license came out, I think it was 2018.
So that's 5 years. Okay. So if you can, we'll do a comparison. How have you seen the Maltese market evolve in all the years you've been operating in Malta, from Malta? And how have you seen the Swedish license evolve?
I'm happier with the Swedish one because it gives us more focus.
In what sense, more focus?
Because our marketing campaigns, we do not use affiliates, or just yet, maybe we'll use in the future.
Okay.
But we actually do land-based marketing, and we do online marketing.
Okay.
Like search engine marketing using Google, Bing, etc. Now, Google tells you that you cannot have Google Ads unless you have a license in that particular country.
Okay.
So if I need to do adverts in Sweden with an MGA license, I was never allowed. So I got the Swedish license just for that reason.
Okay.
See, so we are going heavy on search engine
and
marketing.
And do Google actually enforce on that front?
Yes, very
they
much.
They do. So now Google would be the main excuse my ignorance now,
yes,
on a marketing. And
but even land-based marketing, right? If you want to, I don't know, print a poster or...
you can advertise, for example, in bus stops?
Yes, wherever.
You can.
We even sponsored, we call it the Padel tournament that happened a few years ago in Boston.
Okay, okay.
So we could do that. If we didn't have a license,
because
we
have a license. Okay. So then if you have operators based in any other non-EU jurisdiction, without wanting to mention any specific ones, but any other operators in non-EU jurisdictions, how do they manage to still target players? Is it through affiliates? Is it through marketing?
I believe there is a lot of different ways. You can do it through affiliates because the affiliates would be sending you traffic or building their own traffic.
Okay.
Or you can actually do black hat marketing and go against Google, right? You can have...
Now you've got me out. I have no idea what that means.
basically, you don't follow Google's regulation.
Okay.
Because you can have adverts going out on Google.
Mm-hmm.
Google might take him, I don't know, a few hours or a few days to catch you.
Okay,
and
you still
get
take
out,
the risk.
Switch domain, and they keep taking the risk. It's called black hat market.
Okay, okay.
It's illegal in Google's terms, but I don't think it can be enforced.
It's hard to enforce. Yeah. Okay, okay. See, every day you learn something new.
So you can just do that if you come with a, I don't know, Maltese or Curaçao license or whatever.
Okay, okay. You just mentioned Curaçao. Curaçao are going through, a cultural and regulatory change. You're smiling at cultural. Yes, Curaçao is changing. 1st of September, the new regime came into place. You've got currently a transitional period. The licenses, I believe the transitional period they have will need to be longer because they have so many different licenses.
Yes, I think it started 1st of September.
1st of September, yes. And you have now the... I don't know if you remember the old Maltese concept, the LOI, the letter of intent. So there is, to a certain extent, there are certain elements which are very similar to Malta. So you're seeing a change over there, a change which was actually brought about mainly through COVID because the country needed financial assistance and the Dutch government, as a conditional towards giving them the money, was you need to regulate this sector. How do you see Curaçao now with these changes going on?
Yeah, I must admit, a few years ago, I have been looking into Curaçao for my own company.
Okay.
Maybe through a different leg or do it through a different setup, but looking at Curaçao. Mm-hmm. But it was very hard to get a bank account back then.
A bank account in Curaçao or
in Malta? Because I was operating in Malta and we had an MGA, and I know MGA never liked Curaçao. Mm. I believe there might have been some regulation back then or some enforcement that you have to choose. Mm-hmm. So basically to get you to choose MGA. Mm-hmm. So we didn't go for it.
Okay.
But I'm very interested in it now. If I had to open a casino in the gray area, for mm-hmm. me being Maltese, there's no advantage in having the casino here, right?
Okay.
Why? Because I believe that most companies that are not here for MGA. That's fooling ourselves, right?
They're here more for the tax.
They're here for the tax. Okay. Because there's Kanawaki, there's Curaçao, there's Isle of Man, there's Gibraltar.
Gibraltar's a different story, especially now. Well, we shouldn't be the ones to talk, but because we went through grey listing ourselves. The thing is, it's taking a bit longer in Gibraltar to get out of grey listing compared to us. But if I may, a bit of promotion here for Sigma. Also for our viewers, Sigma Curaçao, which will be taking place in a few weeks' time, actually in 2 weeks' time in Curaçao, where also there'll be a lot of discussion about the new licensing regime. So whoever hasn't registered, I'd really recommend that you register for this top-notch event, where also there'll be the government minister concerned, and there'll be a number of panels where you can discuss. That was the promotion. But coming back to the grey listing, I remember a particular newspaper article where you were very vociferous in your complaints towards a particular Maltese bank, without wanting to mention that bank. What happened exactly? If now the curiosity comes out from my end, what happened that day? But in the long run, you are actually exposing a problem which many operators were feeling but had not gone public about it. But first, satisfy my curiosity.
It was a nightmare, actually, because when you're operating bank, where you have customers' money and your own money and whatever, tells you have a few hours to find a new bank here in Malta. It's an operational issue.
And let's not forget, you have the requirement by the MGA to ring-fence your players' accounts to protect your player monies.
Exactly. So what happened, actually, the bank contacted us. They were doing a de-risking process.
Okay.
And they said, we don't want any more iGaming companies. And we were one of the, you know, the poor, unfortunate ones that were cut off. I don't know if we were one of the first ones. According to the person I spoke with at the bank, they said everyone from gaming needs to get out of the bank. Which we know it wasn't true in the future.
No, it wasn't. I can pass a comment myself, because the company I used to work for was not cut off from the bank. However, we went through a very, very heavy due diligence process. What helped us out at the time was the fact that we had just got our first US license in a particular US state. So we provided that documentation to them with a cover, the actual license we had from this particular US state, which helped us. But we were of a particular size. So I understand. I mean, we had a bit of a preparation for this. And you spoke to me that Canon Gaming is a very lean, lean machine, but a very, very efficient machine. So did this throw your operations into disarray in any manner whatsoever? Did you manage to find a way forward?
Not really. We managed to find a bank within 24 hours and move everything there.
But
that was the decision that we took. Okay, so we have an MGA license. We pay thousands of euros per year for the license. And they couldn't even convince the bank that we should stay. I mean, why is it de-risking? You should de-risk by grabbing unlicensed casinos that have bank account. From then on, we decided to stop operating on MGA, and we focused on the Swedish market.
Okay.
Meaning we stopped taking players
from the rest of the world.
The rest of the world. Like even nowadays, we just keep the MGA license because
you have the Malta company and you run it.
Because, I'm Maltese, I run it from Malta, and you can either have the license or have the
recognition
letter. It's still going to cost money. So if you look at our accounts,
if you're Maltese, might as well get your license and
Yeah, exactly, just to keep it. So if you look at our accounts, I would say 99.9999% of our profits come from...
are generated through Sweden.
Non-MGA.
Non-MGA.
Because we have DGA as well.
Okay. You have the Danish license as well. Okay. Grey listing. At the time, we went through grey listing. We, as a country, we got out of it within a year. But the legacy of grey listing seems to have remained to a certain extent, especially vis-a-vis banking. Have you seen any steps to improve that facet, that situation? A few months ago, I had Enrico Bradamante from iGen, and we discussed
in part
this topic. Is enough being done to help, especially, I mean, small companies, startup companies, which need that bank account? Because after all, it's a requirement.
Yes. How did it affect us? Well, like I said, I was operating in Sweden. Mm-hmm. And we have really good setup. So we only use the Maltese bank for operations. No customer money is held by us.
Okay.
We use e-wallets.
Okay.
So it was very easy for us. We use sort of a pay and play model.
Okay. What would... Again,
I don't know if I can mention the companies.
No, don't mention companies. Just explain how it works so that even the viewers who are seeing us can understand.
It's very popular in Sweden, right? Mm-hmm. So basically, when a player comes into your site, he does not register, but he does his first time deposit.
Okay.
And then that particular company, there's two big ones currently operating like that. You okay. might know who they are.
I know.
They do due diligence and you're done. Money is held there.
Okay.
But a problem we had was when I was looking for a Swedish bank.
Okay.
Approaching them with the...
with a Maltese company.
With a Maltese company being Maltese. So it actually, grey listing did not only damage the company name, but if you're Maltese and you're in Sweden and go speak to a bank, you're coming from grey listed Malta. So they see you, you know.
Yeah. In a particular way.
It was a bit difficult.
Okay.
We managed in the future, like years later, but... this particular bank did not want to open a bank account for us in Sweden.
Okay. So now, moving forward, we've spoken because actually the time has flown by. We only have around 30 minutes. And moving forward, how do you see not just growth from your own perspective, but in which direction do you think Malta should be heading from a growth perspective in the gaming sector?
Yes, or I'm going to speak as if I was the CEO and can take decisions in MGA.
Of the MGA, okay.
Perfect. So
hopefully Carl Brinkat will be watching us as well.
Yes, I hope so. Hello, Carl. So what is the problem with MGA? That I'm going to speak about the Swedish and Danish market and also Canada, right?
Okay, Ontario.
Ontario, yes. They all have their own regulation about players. Mm-hmm. So one has particular limits, the other one has a special tool for players that can block themselves, etc.
Okay.
The reason, I suppose, the Swedish Gambling Authority does not allow someone with an MGA operating there is because MGA is very lenient when it comes to responsible gaming. Now, I know we try to create, I don't know, ministers of responsible gaming and all this, you know, fluff. But it's actually fluff, right? Because if we want to have a really good responsible gaming framework, mm-hmm. and it would be equal to the Swedish one, then why would the Swedish one not allow you to operate there with an MGA license?
Okay, I'm going to come back to you with a counter on that. We were supposed to have a debate, by the way, today. So now the debate is going to be me and you. You're talking about Malta lacking on the responsible gaming front. What if I were to counter and tell you Malta actually years ago proposed a common front on responsible gaming, which, however, was shut down at an EU level.
Of course.
Because of the fear of harmonization.
But what was proposed? So if a player in Sweden has, I don't know, I'm not going to mention numbers, but if he has a very high average deposit per month, and the regulator would come in and say, I need to bring that average down because my people are playing a lot.
Yeah.
Was
but then that depends
the proposal
on spending power. I don't think there wasn't a proposal on numbers, but a proposal on principles. Let's agree on principles. But even that was shut down.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I can't comment on that, but I would like to see that
paper,
though.
There were discussions at the time, the green paper.
I would like to see that.
I'm talking 2015, 2014. I could be wrong. It's been some time. But there were discussions at a green paper. The MGA had pushed it quite heavily at the time, but there was fear that the green paper would be a prelude to a white paper, which would be a prelude to a regulation. Yeah. So there was unfortunately, at a new level, this was lacking. What gets to me? I understand the MGA is trying.
Yes, of course.
But
MGA's competitor is not the white market.
I think the MGA, there needs to be sometimes a more coordinated effort, for want of another better word, but a more coordinated effort.
Maybe more knowledge inside of MGA coming from real gambling.
So knowledge on product.
Yes, because we call it Malta Gaming Authority. It's not a gaming product. It's a gambling product. You need people that understand the gambler, how gambler reacts, etc.
Do you think the previous name, the Lotteries and Gaming Authority...
That was much better, right?
I worked for the LGA.
I remember the LGA. Malta Gaming Authority, it's very misleading, especially me coming from game development world, okay. Right?
Then I'll ask you this last question. Do you sometimes get the feeling that as a country, we do regulate the sector and we're happy with the money that we make from it, but maybe we're embarrassed that we're making money off this product?
I don't think Malta has shame. I don't think we're embarrassed at all, no. Because it is one of our biggest sector, but we don't make money from gambling.
We make money from regulating.
Regulating, I suppose, is the resources that come to Malta. You know, how many people move here, employed here, offices, rental, restaurants. That's where Malta makes money. Mm. It doesn't make money from gambling. Like, take us, for example. We have, I don't know, over 70,000-80,000 players that are constantly playing on our product. But we pay the gambling tax in Sweden. Mm-hmm. However, I'm bringing people from all over the world to work here, rent, pay tax here, etc. That's where Malta makes money. I think MGA just, or the gambling is just a vehicle to reach there.
Thank you so much, Nikolai.
You're welcome.
It really was interesting, and I assure you we're going to have a follow-up, but in the form of a three-person debate, not a two-person.
Perfect.
Debate. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.